Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I begin, just want to say a few words. Was a gentleman, a gospel preacher that I know who received his reward on Thursday. Gentleman's name was Gerald Ball. But of course, like everyone in the faith, I just called him Brother Ball. And he had the privilege to minister at the Bedford Road Church of Christ in the HEB area. Harris, Euless, Bedford. It's in the DFW area. And he was a teacher of mine when I went to Brown Trail. Very tender-hearted man, very, very humble. And he had to administer at the Bedford Road Church of Christ for about 30 years. He knew everyone in the community. He had a degree in ministry and also psychology. But he also fixed AC units. You know, he ran his own business fixing AC or heating and cooling and just a humble man. After every quarter, he would take us to, I believe, First Cafeteria or Luby's. I think it was Luby's. And he said the money came from every bad sermon that he preached. His wife would just put a dollar aside. He would use that money to take us all out to eat after every semester was over. He was at his work for about 30 years, and he said, I just don't know why they haven't fired me yet. He said, every year they just haven't said anything, so I'm here. But he struggled with cancer for the past 5 years, and he ultimately had resigned, but he still ministered there. And I remember when I was at the school, he encouraged me to worship with him. It was a congregation about 100 or a little under 100 from time to time. And he said, if you worship here with me, he said, you can go to a whole lot of other places. The school that had the school of preaching was Brown Trail, was a large church. He said, you could worship there if you like, but there you may not have the opportunity to serve because there are so many people. He said, since this is a smaller work, I could at least give you the opportunity to teach here and do a whole lot of other things. And it was kind of difficult for me to commit also because I was going to different congregations trying to raise money as well so that I can continue my study. But I committed and I worshiped there. And it was while I was worshiping at Bedford Road. I'm still a student, but I had the chance to teach Sunday nights. There was a gentleman from a congregation in Missouri said, we're looking for a minister. And I gave him my card. I had the chance to minister for my first congregation because he encouraged me to worship there at that smaller church. Not only that, but he encouraged me to leave the DFW area because right before I was getting ready to leave, some of the members were saying, hey, we need a youth minister. So I was getting ready to kind of be afraid to leave the area and take that position. And he said, well, you have to decide whether or not you want to be a youth minister. Just simple words. He said, you can be a youth minister. And there's nothing wrong with him. He wasn't belittling that work or if you wanted to be a minister. But of course, he will be missed. Just wanted to say some words about someone who, of course, we lost, paradise gained, of course, and we thank God for our memories. Psalm 23 is the chapter. Psalm 23. Namely, Psalm 23 is a verse that I trust that you know. The Bible tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I could put that in the category of many verses that I remember, many verses that I trust that you have remembered. Is that one verse that you have remembered? It's fundamental to Christianity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's one of those verses like Jesus wept. Can't help but to remember it. God is love, right? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. John 3:16. That's right. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Psalm 23 is one of those psalms that is supposed to be a personal psalm, because I believe that God is speaking to me, that God will have me to know that if I allow him to be my shepherd, that he will take care of me. And since that psalm is personal to me, it is designed to be personal to you as well, because that same promise applies to you also. That is, if God is your shepherd, he will take care of you. You'll find out in your life, as God is your shepherd, that you will have pain within you from time to time. You may think will never ever go away, but you'll find pain leaving. Because God is your shepherd, you'll have moments in your life when things are so dark and so gray, the storms of life, as we call them. And you will think that those storms will never ever leave. But as God continues to lead you, and God is your shepherd, you will see the sun rise again. You have moments of disappointment in your life, moments of failure and shortcomings. God being your shepherd, you'll find yourself overcoming things that you never thought that you could ever overcome. The Lord is my shepherd, David said, I shall not want. And I will say that's one of my favorite passages. It's a passage that we should all strive to memorize. And as I think about Psalm 23, it's one of those passages that I memorized. There was a time when I could quote it all. Can you still quote Psalm 23, all of it? Maybe you can. I'm ashamed to say that I can quote some of it. I can muddle through it. I can get the gist of it. I know what Psalm 23 is teaching. But I remember there was a time when I could memorize all of it. And it's one of those verses that I would quote throughout the day. And I remember there was a time when I would quote chapters. I would push my mind to the limit, memorize chapters, memorize many verses. There was a time when I would memorize my entire sermon. Sometimes I would have an 11-page manuscript. But as time progressed, I realized that there's nothing wrong with memorizing scripture. But it's important to know what the scriptures are talking about that you're quoting, right? So memorize passages if you must. Memorize them if you can. But most importantly, know what those passages are teaching. There are times, maybe it will get worse, but I don't know. Sometimes I struggle with recall. Maybe I'm not challenging my brain the way that I used to challenge it. Sometimes I struggle with recall. You may hear me ask you to go to a certain book, but I mean another. You may hear me ask you to go to a certain verse, but I'm talking about something else. But that's something that we struggle with from time to time. That's something that God will forgive. And I believe that it's something that we can all learn to live with. It reminds me of a story I heard about a man who was into quoting scripture, and his favorite passage was 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. The Bible says he quoted Paul when he said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him until that day." And he would quote this verse and quote this verse because that was his favorite verse, just like Psalm 23. But as time progressed, the verse never changed. But that verse became shorter to him because he wasn't able to remember all of the words in the verse. So as that verse became shorter and shorter to him, what he was able to quote was, "I know him." And is that good enough? I may not be able to quote all of the verses that I used to quote anymore. What's most important is that I know him. And if I know him, my life will be blessed. Even if I don't remember all the verses, at the end of the day, as long as I know who my shepherd is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It ought to be more than words. And the encouragement that I want to convey this morning is, learn this chapter. Quote it if you must, but most importantly, know him. Do more than knowing, do more than just know the words in the psalm. But God will have us to know who is the shepherd of this psalm. Who is this psalm actually talking about? From time to time, you may meet people who just know the words. From time to time, you may be an individual who just know the words. But if you just know the words, I want you to know that you're no different than the devil if you just know the words. And why would I say a thing like that? Why would I say if we who call ourselves Christians just know the words, we're no better than the devil? The devil, he'll quote scripture to you, right?
He believes.
That's right. He believes. The devil quoted scripture to Jesus. Eve told the devil exactly what God had said as it related to what God expected them to do with the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. That is, leave it alone. So if all I know are just the words, I'll be like many in the world who live devilish lives, have a devilish attitude and a devilish behavior. But when I know the shepherd, the Bible will remind me that Jesus said in John 10:27 that the sheep, they know my voice. They hear my voice. They won't follow anyone but me. So this whole purpose of this psalm is to get us to leave this place knowing the shepherd of the psalm, believing in him, to understand that we will live lives that will be lives of uncertainty from time to time. We'll live lives in which things will be shifting from time to time. We'll have lives in which we find ourselves carrying burdens that other folks are not carrying. But if God is your shepherd, you will feel that burden being lifted. Maybe you have felt that burden being lifted. God will have us to know that it can be lifted again if we acknowledge, if we follow him. I want us to turn to Psalm 23 once again. What I want us to do is make this psalm personal, in which it is. Psalm 23 tells us the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me, Courtney Henderson, to lie down in green pastures. He leads me, Courtney Henderson, beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I, Courtney Henderson, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I, what's your name? And I, and I, Courtney Henderson, shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why did I make this personal? And why do I encourage this to be personal to you? Being Christians means that we're people of the book. The Bible belongs to us. It belongs to the people of God. God gives this invitation to the entire world. He gives you his word so that it can become a part of your life. He gives you these promises so that you can hold and cherish. And these are not empty promises and empty words. What I'm saying is, this is your psalm, right? When you think about this psalm, this is a personal psalm. He uses these pronouns that speaks of a relationship with God. So as he writes Psalm 23, he's not talking about us. He's not talking about we. He's not talking about I. There is this young lady that I'm privileged to drop off during the week. I have the chance to counsel her during the week and others, but I have a developmental problems, disabilities. This young lady can only say a few words. She'll say, I love you. She'll say that I have on two shoes. She'll say that I have on bracelets. And I have on two rings. She'll say every day that she's wearing a dress, although she's wearing pants. She'll say that I'm wearing two dresses. But when she gets home and she sees her parents, she'll say, that's my mom and dad. That's my father. That's my dad. And that's someone who struggles with memory. That's someone who struggles with vocabulary. Yes, she remembers who loves her, who takes care of her. So David will say without apologizing, without being ashamed, that yes, this is personal. It's not about us and we in this psalm when it's yours. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm reminded how there is a saying that says, membership has its privileges, right? And so it is in Christianity. When you are a child of God, you have some privileges. And one of the greatest privileges that we have is your shepherd is unlike any other shepherd, because your shepherd is God. I want you to notice that this prayer is not the typical prayer that you may say. By no means am I judging you. I believe the biblical definition for judgment is telling someone this is your final destination. And by no means do we judge in that fashion, but we are able to call things as they are. And that's not judging. We don't have to allow the world to take that word from us. Many occasions, folks just don't want you to tell them what they're doing that's wrong, so they say, stop judging me. But the biblical judgment is telling someone that they're going to hell when they're not in hell yet, right? That's saying this is what your fate is when we don't even know. Telling someone that you're not going to amount to anything, that's making a final judgment. But going back to the lesson about the typical prayer, that I can tell you from experience, this is not the typical prayer. I will say the typical prayer is a Christian asking God for something, right? The typical prayer is the child of God asking him to get them out of a situation and asking God to help him or her with their enemies. Typical prayer is asking God for some strength. And there's nothing wrong with that, because through the Psalms, you're going to read of David asking God to help me out of this difficult place that I'm in, and to forgive him, and to help him with his enemies, and to bless him. But in this psalm, he's not asking God for anything. He's not asking God for one single thing. But what he is doing is rejoicing in what God has done. He is rejoicing in what God is doing. And he is also rejoicing, knowing and believing what God is going to do, right? And I think it's time that I begin to add that to a part of my prayer life. Because on many occasions, speaking from personal experience, I'm doing a lot of asking. And I'm not doing a lot of thinking. I'm asking God for more stuff sometimes, instead of thanking him for what he's already done, for what he is doing, and for what he is going to do. I believe that God, he's given us this psalm to take away our anxieties. And he wants us to know that, yes, you're going to have some valleys, but he encourages us that he will give us peace. Yes, you will have times in which you will be in danger. Yes, you will have some uncertainty about your lives, but there is a promise that God will take care of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the Hebrew, the Bible will tell us, I shall not want means that I shall not lack anything that I need. I want you to think about that. In the general sense, there are a lot of things that we want, right? That's not what God is talking about. You ask someone what they want for Christmas. You take someone to a restaurant and you ask them, what is it that you want? So we have the things that we want. But God is saying, if I am your shepherd, you have everything that you need. But on many occasions, it has nothing to do with our needs, but everything to do with our greed, right? God is saying, as your shepherd, I am dependent. You shall not want. I'm trustworthy. You shall not want. I am resourceful. You shall not want. Psalm 23, once again, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. Once again, what this deals with is relationships. Christianity is a religion that centers around every Christian having a personal relationship with God. And that is to say that it's good that your parents may have had a relationship with God. It is good that your father or mother had a relationship with God. And your spouse possess a relationship with God. That's fine and all. But this is personal, right? So what about you? Do you have a personal relationship with God? I want you to notice 2 Timothy, book of 2 Timothy. The chapter is 1. 2 Timothy. And the chapter is 1. The Bible reads in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul would speak of Timothy and say, when I came to remembrance, the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelled in your what? Lois, that's wonderful. And your mother, Eunice, that's great. And I am persuaded that it's where? Let's say that Timothy had his own personal faith. It was wonderful that his grandmother had it. It was wonderful that his mother had it. So you can say that he is, in essence, a third generation Christian. Why is it important that we have this personal relationship with God? Because we all live in the same world. I remember teaching a lesson about why we need a personal relationship with God, and I'm reminded of David, who penned this song. And I believe my point was he needed this personal relationship with God, and he had it. He was able to stay faithful. He was chased out of his kingdom, barefooted, with no shoes. Folks threw rocks at him while he was fleeing. Yet he had this personal relationship with God. Need this personal relationship with God because in this world, once you begin to study in the world of higher education, you need a personal relationship with God. Once you start working and you realize that sometimes the people who you work with and live around and associate with will be like wolves and dogs from hell, hounds from hell. You need this personal relationship with God. When folks begin to challenge your faith, you need to know why you are a Christian. You can only know why you are a Christian if you have a personal relationship with God. Why you believe that Jesus is the way and not Muhammad. Why you believe that God created the world. It shouldn't be a book. We shouldn't be afraid to read any book, listen to any philosopher or any seminar. Really,
Doesn't matter what someone may say or write. It's not shaking my faith. And it shouldn't shake yours. If anything, you've learned where they're coming from. And you're thinking of a way to show them the way. There is a reason why no one shaking my faith by what they say, by what they do, by what they write. The Lord is your shepherd. You experience some things. Psalm 34, verse 8. You've read it before, you've heard it before. The Bible tells us, O taste and see that the Lord is what? Blessed is the man who trusts him. There are times when you read the word blessed, and there are times when it can mean happy. You're happy if you trust. There are times when you read a blessed in the context it's talking about speaking well of God. But when you are blessed, yes, you're happy. And you know why it is that you're happy. So you can't help but to speak well of God. And is that not what David is doing in this psalm? And he does throughout all of his literature. He speaks well of God. I have experienced the goodness of God. Have you? Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Speaks of how God, he provides, and how he supplies our provisions. And once again, it has nothing to do with our greed, but it has everything to do with our needs. There was something that God commanded his people to do. In the New Testament, under this new covenant, it's not mentioned. But I need to start doing something similar too. They would have this feast, tabernacles, if you will. If you know anything about that feast, God will have them to go out and live in a tent. And I just want you to just think about it. Maybe in some place secure, some place better than what you had. I wonder how many people kept that law faithfully. I'm not going to live in no tent and sleep on the ground. But what will that do for you? Will it help you remember anything besides the pain in your back? Will it help you remember how far God has brought you? When I think about Psalm 23 and verse 1, it makes me to thank God for hamburger helper. I don't know how many pounds I gained eating hamburger helper. It's a cheap meal. And I was grateful for it. I haven't had any pork and beans in a long time. I haven't had pork and beans in a long time. They're still there. And if I were to need them again, they will still be there. Thank God for hamburger helper and pork and beans and rice. I still eat Jiffy cornbread and Kool-Aid. God, he can make a way.
Lord is my shepherd, shall not lack anything. For I have all that I need. I heard a story as I close about a gentleman who would write in his Bible. In several passages in his Bible, he would write TP next to them. This young man noticed it. And he asked the gentleman, "Why is it that you're writing TP in your Bible?" Maybe you've heard this story, but he said TP stands for tried and proven. There are things that he's tried in God's Word, and they've been tried, they've been proven to be correct. God encourages us to do the same. Oh, taste, see that the Lord is good. Let this psalm be your personal song. And this is a psalm that we're going to have to continue. One thing that stands out is how sometimes God will have to make us lie down. And that may seem odd, but that tells me that there are times when we're blessed and we don't even know. What does he mean when he said he makes me? Sometimes we're trying to get up, and sometimes we're trying to move away. God, he'll have to make us to just stay put, relax, graze, be blessed. And of course, we thank him for it. If there's anyone in this place who is not a Christian, who is not a child of God, we encourage you to become a member of the church that you read of in Scripture. We strive to be the New Testament church that you read of in God's Word. We'll tell you exactly what they did to become Christians, and we do the same. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe like they believe. Repent. I believe that everyone should be able to have that day of Pentecost experience. And they asked, "What must we do?" And they were able to do it right where they were standing. And they repented, they changed their mind. God changed their state. They repented and they decided within themselves that I will live differently. And I will make some changes. They believed in Jesus, they confessed him Lord. Like the Ethiopian eunuch did. He said, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God." And he stopped that chariot. And what did he do? He baptized. He left rejoicing. And as long as the Lord is your shepherd, that rejoicing never ends. Unless we forget. But if you've forgotten, now it's time to remember. Let us stand as we sing the invitation song.
See the area.